Hi everyone, welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with Corinne from the Crew Coach on Your Mental Health. Today I have a very special guest with me today, and why she is so special is because she is going to be featuring, Dominique is going to be featuring in my membership, and I'm so thrilled about that. We have so many common values, and I think a huge one is personal growth. We were in a course together and that's how we've connected. And Dominique has such a diverse, rich wealth of knowledge with regards to her different professions and where she is today and what she's trying to achieve. So Dominique, welcome to this interview. I can't wait for the listeners to be a part of this experience, and who knows where it's going to lead us or what we're going to talk about, but that's the whole exciting part about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Corinne, for having me on the show and just for reaching out. Like, this, ladies and gentlemen, this woman, she just reached out to me and we instantly had that connection. And I think it comes with being high achievers, wanting to grow ourselves and wanting to make an impact in the world. So thank you for having me on the show, and I'm excited. I'm excited to share all the different things that I've learned on my journey, my personal journey from working in diplomacy, international affairs, to becoming a full-time entrepreneur, let alone a digital entrepreneur. I think it's a very different space than having your own brick and mortar. And just the journey of becoming better and becoming my more authentic self.
Yeah, amazing. So just starting off with that, becoming better and being my authentic self. I know at the age of 9, I had quite a clear idea of what I wanted to do when I grew up. And that was to help children. And I saw myself, because I'm South African, I saw myself in a helicopter and going to villages and providing food and playing with the children and doing all that sort of stuff. But did you, because your career, you started in the Peace Corps in your early 20s.
Yes.
So for you, did you know what your purpose was at a young age?
You know, I didn't, but like, as you're speaking, the earliest image that I had of myself was being actually a broadcast journalist. I thought, I'm not going to have a desk job. I'm going to be out in the field talking to people and sharing stories. Like, that's kind of my initial vision. And my interest in the Peace Corps and working and living abroad really started in high school when I saw my best friends. So I'm Filipino American. Mm-hmm. I saw my best friend's sister-in-law had a picture which looked like she was in some tropical country. And I'm like, where were you? What country is this? She's like, oh, that's the Philippines. I'm like, what? I'm like, when were you in the Philippines? She's like, oh, I did the Peace Corps there. And like, that was 10th grade. And that planted a seed in my head that I did not explore until my junior year of college at UCLA. I just started like asking myself, like, what do I want to do with my life? And the Peace Corps just like popped in my head. And I started going to Peace Corps panels, talking to Peace Corps volunteers. But it all started from that initial picture that I saw, that image. I'm like, wow, like, I want to do that one day. But I kind of just filed it away in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and I can so relate to that because I read the book Marching Powder. I don't know if you've read it, but I think it's a Bolivia prison and they're smuggling in drugs, but they can bring their families in the prison and they all live there together. I thought, gosh, it's so fascinating. And I wondered if you were born bad or was your life experience influenced your choices and decisions and ended up, you know, being incarcerated. Mm. And I also filed that at the back of my mind. And when I finished my yachting career, I pursued further studies to be in the helping profession. And then as part of my placement, they offered me a job in the prison. And I thought, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I want to work with children. I didn't want to work with adults, men, prisoners. And I thought, oh no. And then that memory came up for me about the book and my curiosity around it. And I took that as a sign. I was like, maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to pursue this. And my perspective started to change. And I think when you do approach things with curiosity, you open yourself up to more opportunities.
Yes. No, I'm getting chills as you're saying that, because you really have to follow those ideas that seem crazy. because that's like, those are your dreams sending you signals, telling you straight up, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to experience. Are you ready to go there? What do you need to overcome? Or what do you need to, you know, what's the next step you need to take in order to actually take that risk? Because going abroad, like I grew up in Los Angeles, very sheltered, you know, my Filipino American immigrant parents. I was a really, really good student growing up. I kind of had my success path laid out for me. And choosing the Peace Corps was completely, completely opposite from what everyone else had envisioned for me. But I knew in my heart, I just need to do this. I need to leave the bubble. And you know, it's funny, right? Because like a lot of people go to LA to go find their dreams. Like my what I wanted to do is like I want to leave LA because I want to go find my dreams outside of this bubble. And LA was a bubble for me, which is like crazy to say. But I grew up in LA. I grew up in Southern California, and it wasn't the place where I needed to be. I knew I need to venture off. I need to have my own adventures and have my own experiences and really build my own character, because you can't build character in comfort. You have to build character in challenge.
That's so true. That's so true. And in the yachting industry, we call it the golden handcuffs because you've got all that financial security. And some people have been in the position for 9 years. It's maybe an easy boat, nice owners, but they're deeply unhappy because they know that they're not on purpose, but it's the comfort that's keeping them there and they feel totally stuck. So, how did you find that courage to pursue your dreams or find yourself?
Gosh, so at the time, at least for Peace Corps, because there's different crossroads you're going to face in your life. You're going to always be met with, you've reached a certain level of success or you've achieved a certain something, but you know there's something more for you. So at the time in Peace Corps, I had to let go of a long-term relationship in order to pursue something that felt more aligned. And that for me was like, all right, can I do this? Am I willing to do this? What's more important to me? And it was a difficult decision, but in my gut, I knew that it was the right decision. Same thing when I transitioned to entrepreneurship. I had been going down a certain path, but in my heart, I'm like, this is not it yet. But the things that I'm choosing to do in my jobs, so mentoring, coaching, getting people together and having like sharing a meal and asking them, what are your dreams? Like these were the things that really excited me naturally. And I'm naturally curious about people and why they choose what they do. Because coming from my family, like my parents, they worked hard. They didn't have like, you know, your professional, like a doctor or a lawyer or whatnot. Like that was my generation. I was supposed to be the doctor or a lawyer or business person. So I didn't have that model. So then I was looking for models. I was looking for like, well, what did this person do? What did that person do? What can I do that's going to feel great and aligned? And it's a total experiment. Figuring yourself out. You don't know what you don't know. I keep telling everyone that you don't know what you don't know. You just got to experience it.
And that's it. And not to be hard on ourselves, and what a lot of yachties face in our industry is that need to be perfect. And you're actually almost too scared to make that decision because what happens if you fail? And yeah, like for yourself, it sounded like your parents or your family had a vision for you, and you had to stand up to that and say, that's your vision, but it's not mine, and I need to go find mine. Was that the case for you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Go find mine or go create my vision. Like I didn't know what I wanted. I'd always thought about kind of similar to what you're thinking, like I want to go help people. Like I wanted to go help people too, but I didn't know what that would look like. And as you get older, you understand like, okay, you need to have your basics. You need to have some sort of financial foundation because you can't just go and help the world and be poor. Like that's not going to do anyone good. You know, be smart about it. And so, yeah, I had to go search. I had to go find the thing that was going to do it for me. And the Peace Corps was such a great, if there's anyone listening that's from, you know, the US and you could do the Peace Corps, I think right now, like Peace Corps is not on. It is one of the most incredible experiences that you can ever go through because of the resiliency that you build and also the humanity that you start to embody because you realize, even as an American and a Filipino American, all humans, we all just want the same thing. We want to belong and we want to express ourselves. If that's like the very basic thing that I can say about the work I do now. It's how do you create those spaces where people feel accepted and people can fully express themselves without feeling a sense of judgment?
Yes. So can you reflect back on your experience there and think about one of your most memorable or moving experiences?
Gosh, there's so many. So I'm a crazy, crazy high achiever, overachiever. Mm. I was like that student in high school that got like over a 4.0 GPA, went to the best schools, continued with that high achieving, overachieving perfectionist route. Like I have to keep doing more. Mm. And in the Peace Corps, I had that same experience. I have to teach English. I have to work with the women's group. I have to work at the school. I have to start a youth group. I have to learn how to farm. I was trying to do everything, but I wasn't checking in with myself. Like, am I okay? Like, do I need a break? And at the very end of my service, At the very end of my service, I taught this adult English class. There was a woman, her name was Rosa. She was the cook at the school. She probably took two of my classes in English. And that was it. And that was at the very beginning of my service. So 2 years later, I'm saying goodbye to everybody. And she's like, Dom, I want to thank you for teaching those English classes because I was able to pass my high school exit exam. So now I can go to college.
Wow.
And this is the cook. Wow. So like her, and so it wasn't even like, a young kid or someone that I expected. It was like the cook in the kitchen who had a dream. And all she needed was a little bit more English because she already had the drive.
Yeah.
When you teach people that have the drive and you give them that little nudge, they're gonna excel. Mm. And so that for me was like so fulfilling out of all the things that I did. And then, just seeing all the bright faces of the community. There was a community of 700 people. Everyone was giving me, was throwing like goodbye parties, but like I had built such deep connections with 2-year-olds to like 89-year-olds, the whole spectrum from super poor, folks in the town to like folks with a little bit more money and, pastors and priests and all these different people, all these different walks of life. And I think that encompasses like, oh my gosh, like this is such an incredible experience for anyone, because if you have a heart of service and you're open to learning, you can impact so many people.
Yeah. 100%. So would you say that experience was the catalyst to finding your purpose?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I learned in the Peace Corps is that I do well without structure because I can create the structure. You throw me into a country, I can learn the language and I can make friends. If I can do those two things, even into a new corporation or a new job, I know I understand people. I know where people are coming from. I can listen. And so with those experiences, it helped build my confidence that, yeah, one day maybe I could be an entrepreneur, but that's a whole nother process.
Mm.
But yeah, definitely experience upon experience helped build my confidence in myself.
Okay. So how would you describe to someone what being on purpose feels like or looks like?
Yeah. So if you are, doing something that you absolutely love, like you're in the moment, you're present, you feel the flow, it's effortless. You don't even, sometimes when I'm, even like today, like if I'm speaking on this, on the show, or I'm speaking in front of a crowd of people, there is something that comes through me. I don't know what you want to call it, spirit or your inner voice or this energy that like, I mean, I'm running off 3 hours right now because I was listening to I was doing my personal growth and like in the middle of the night. It just comes out naturally. Like there's no effort to it because you feel it. I feel it right now. Like it's there.
Mm.
And I can't say anything else except keep doing the things that bring you joy or that make you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, the things that are healthy for you, and you'll discover it. It's not a one day like, oh, I know what my passion is. It's you build it over time and you fine tune what that is, and it evolves as you evolve as a person.
100%. And that's why it's so important to be kind to yourself. Like I think our generation, society says you must do that. Like these are your pathway, career pathways, a doctor, a teacher, and you need to have that structure and safety. And that's what I struggle with. with my father, to be very honest, is I don't feel like our parents quite get it in terms of the digital nomad life and that freedom that we can experience and designing our future rather than being dictated what our future should look like. And I think you do need to approach it as an experience, as your personal journey, rather than putting this pressure on yourself of what you should be.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and it truly is. Your journey is your journey. Like, everyone is different. Everyone is coming in with different knowledge, different skill sets. One thing about dads, my dad was the voice in my head that said, you can't do this. You have to stick with your job, in, you know, your prestigious career. You know, you're a diplomat. Like, why would you ever change that? You know, like, my dad's voice was in my head because I knew what he was going to say when I told him, or when I would tell them eventually, hey, I'm quitting the U.S. Foreign Service, and I'm gonna go start my own business. And I remember specifically that conversation I had with them, knowing that the response would be negative. And I'm like, I'm doing this for myself.
Mm.
And it's for me. It's not for you. And I feel good about it. Mm. And I remember my mom asking me later, which she had never asked me before. She's like, oh, are you happy? And I'm like, yeah, I am. It's so simple, right? If you're the parent of like any child, or like even your parents asking you that question, are you happy? And like, oh yeah, you care about what I want. You know, that's like, it was so liberating. And I felt like, I literally felt like this release. Like, now I can be free and go experiment and go take risk, you know, take bigger risk. And I did. And here we are. And here I am. I like, it's, and, but it's the, as you experience more of what you like doing, you're going to experience, even with the people that are closest to you, judgment or doubt or whatnot, but you continually have to push through that because it's your journey. You have to believe in it. If you don't believe in it, not going to happen.
100%. I totally agree with you. And it reminds me of a conversation that I had with my dad. And I think parents, they want you to be happy. And that's why your mom asked you, are you happy? Because that's, I think, what that's all they want for their children is to be happy. And with having a business, you would understand the amount of work and time and sacrifice that goes into it. And I think that's what my father only sees. Like, there's no fun in my life. I just work, work, work. But my work is my love. And so it gives me so much joy. So it doesn't feel like work. And then he was like, but are you fulfilled? You need to ask yourself that question. Are you fulfilled? I said, I'm the most fulfilled I've ever been in my life. And then that shut him up quite quickly. He's like, oh, okay, well, that's good then.
that's a legitimate question. I think there's like that study with happiness. If you're making over, if you are making at least $65,000 to $70,000 a year, like making even more money after that, it doesn't really change your happiness level. Mm-hmm. It really is like, is what you're doing aligned with what you like doing? And are you living each day with intention and purpose? And if you are, awesome. And if you're not, ask yourself, what can you do differently?
Yes, yes. And personal growth, I know, is something that we both value. What has personal growth, what does it mean to you? And how has it added to your life?
Gosh, it's like, I want to say personal growth is like opening up the Pandora's box of your dreams.
Wow, that's such a good way of framing it.
Because of the way that we're socialized and taught in school within our institutions, this is what success looks like. You know, you get good grades, you start in school, you get scholarships, you get to a good college. Again, you get good grades and you get to a good job. And this, it's formulaic, right? Then you do well at your job, you get promoted, and then you retire. And I think in this day and age, because of the internet, because of the variety of different lifestyles that people can live and choose from and still make an income, that whole paradigm is being challenged.
Mm.
And so, sorry, I like lost my, what was your original question?
what does it mean to you, personal growth, and how has it add value to your life? And you said, yeah,
so personal growth is looking at the various areas of your life and asking yourself, am I being the best person I can be? Like, am I being the best parent? Am I being the best business person? Am I being the best partner or spouse? Mm-hmm. am I being good to myself? And so like it's this multi-layered, think of it like you're a DJ of your life. Sometimes you got to turn up the volume on your health. Sometimes you got to turn up the volume on your business. And it depends on the rhythm and the season that you're in. Like I have three kids right now. They're small. The twins are 7 and the little one is 3. And when they're home, like I'm not doing this stuff. I'm, you know, full on in mom mode. And so personal growth allows me to continually reflect and assess what I'm focusing on and whether or not that's aligned with the values that I value at that moment in my life. And it's like a constant checking in.
Yes.
What I'm supposed to be doing. Am I trying my best? Am I making an effort? Where in my life have I dropped the ball? And how do I know that? And I know that immediately with things that I'm avoiding, with things that are painful, with problems I'm trying to like, you know, brush aside and be like, oh, it's okay, I'll take care of it later. But yeah. You know, when you have that attitude about I'll take care of it later, that's like, that is a sign that you're not living in harmony.
Yeah.
And then you start asking yourself, and for me, what do I need to change in order to start living in more harmony with the future vision that I have?
Yeah.
So personal growth is that constant evolution of self. Yes. Towards that higher and higher purpose. Mm-hmm. And then maybe there's no end to it. I don't know, maybe I'll like pop into like, I become just pure energy. And like, here I am like floating around I don't know what that looks like. And that's the exciting part, is that you can just keep going.
Yeah.
And then be curious and be open and, that's personal growth. It pushes you to reach for your potential, or to reach for what's more meaningful, what's more fulfilling to you.
And that's exactly what my membership is about. It's reaching that potential, and it is an ongoing journey, but I think we're all striving for self-actualization, even if we don't know it. So as you said, like if we have disharmony in our life, or is there inner conflict, and look, there are easier options and healthy options to self-medicate, to get rid of those uncomfortable feelings. But once you rip that band-aid off, I think that, you know, you're giving yourself permission to live your best. Oh, sorry, guys, interruption, the barking dog. But then you're on your way to purpose, I think. And yes, it isn't an easy journey. And Maslow's hierarchy of needs that you mentioned before, the sense of belonging, these are basic human needs that we crave and desire, and I think we actually need in order to flourish. And I remember at the age of 12, my school teacher saying, not many people reach self-actualization, and if they do, they're probably 80 years old. And I thought, hell no, I'm gonna find that golden pinnacle if I So yeah, interruption again, what were we saying about self-actualization, the pinnacle? I guess that's what was so attractive to me, is to find your inner compass and reach that place of pure fulfillment.
Love that. I love the idea of like the inner compass. Yes, 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 yes to that.
Yeah. So leadership, so would you define yourself as a leadership success coach, or do you have quite a few different, how would I describe it? It's not umbrella.
So mainly like as I've gone through my own personal growth journey, and I've done like leadership development, not certifications, but everything that I do, I'm always figuring out, how do I influence others? And so what I see as in my success coaching is for people to identify, you know, what are their next goals or ideas or priorities that they want to focus on, so they feel more fulfilled and they feel more aligned with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like, go achieve, but is your ladder on the right wall? Like are you climbing the right place? Because if you're not, then you gotta ask yourself, like, shift that and then start building from there. So it's a lot about helping folks gain clarity about what they want next. And once you gain clarity and you're able to lead yourself, you can lead others. Mm. It's like you have that sense of mission, those values, and you understand what it takes to grow personally. Leadership naturally comes from that. Mm. Because you're woke, you have awakened to something else. Mm. And so your job as a leader is to wake other people up and to help them identify what's the thing that's going to make their heart sing.
Yeah, 100%. With regards to how you run like the self-leadership and finding your career purpose, do you do like one-on-ones or how does that work?
Yeah, so I've done career workshops, I've done group coaching, I've done online coaching, and also do one-on-one coaching. Lately, I've been focusing more on speaking engagements because I just want to kind of build that skill set out. But yeah, like leadership, everything, all that I'm doing, it's like once I learn something, I teach it on my podcast. I teach it to the people I know. I teach it to my friends. I talk about it in these like, you know, conversations, anything and everywhere. Like I'm always exchanging information and looking for ideas because I'm not, I mean, even though I've studied this a lot, I'm not the expert, but I can provide a certain perspective and ask questions a certain way because of all the input that's coming in and being aware of, yeah, what people need, being in tune with people's body language. Like someone says, I love my job. And I'm like, no, you don't. But in my mind, you know, like, as I'm seeing, as they say, I love my job, I'm like, no, there's something deeper in there that we need to unpack. So there's different modes in which I try to engage with folks. I mean, the best, I'm not sure what your experience has been, but one-on-one coaching is the greatest, I think, because you really create that space for that, that safe space to exchange questions and challenge ideas and challenge beliefs and values. Does this still align with who you want to become? Because we are here because of what we've done and what we've believed. But to get over there, we got to shift our identity and how we talk to ourselves. And I mean, there's so many layers to it. But you're more of the expert in that. I never studied psychology. I'm just like pure curious student. I'm like, I'm going to read all the books and like try to figure out how can I teach this to other people. But
yeah. And I think it is about cleansing ourselves from our limiting beliefs because that will trip us up every single time.
Mm, totally.
Qualities with regards to leadership. I think people have as we do because of our lived experiences, but our perception of leadership can be somewhat different. Mm. What do you think? What are the attributes that make a good leader?
So this is a great question. A great leader today, maybe, I mean, like not like in the 1950s, but today, is a leader that can, that exhibits incredible emotional intelligence.
Yes.
If you are able to move people through your stories, through your words, through your own energy, and you bring it like, and you light a fire in people's like you light a fire within people and you make them feel something that they've never felt before, or you awaken them to something that reminds them of their childhood dream.
Yeah.
You are able to tap into that and you bring that out, not saying I'm the leader and I'm helping you do this, but you help people discover that for themselves by just being who you are. That is like, that is the skill set of a really good leader, because they understand people need to be moved not by logic, but by emotion. Today, the types of leaders that are going to either, you know, help us grow or help us fail, they're moving us through emotion. And so when you have that charisma, but behind that charisma, you also have the ability to, you know, throw out facts and bring it all together and help folks see the bigger picture and move them in that direction. That's it's being in tune. Be in tune with people you're leading. Be in tune with yourself first. So then you can be in tune with other people and you teach them how to be in tune with themselves. Because the world today is out of tune. We're out of tune to the natural rhythms of like human creativity and innovation, because there's a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of problems. And when you focus on the problems without focusing on the possibilities, then people just see life as like, there's no hope.
Yeah.
But then as a leader, you got to open people up to the possibility. So emotional intelligence, short answer.
Yes, and what I wanted to say is I think it's important to be selfless and not to lie yourself, and don't paint a vision of what you think everyone would like to see in a leader, all those attributes that you've just explained, right. Because people can see through that.
Yeah.
As soon as you're not congruent, or you know, not doing what you say or leading by example, and there's a mismatch with what you're saying and what you're doing, then people won't follow.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And again, when we talk about the different mentalities of our previous generations and the forthcoming generations, I think it's having awareness around that as well, because again, in our parents' generation, I think they think leadership is about respect, which it is, but mm-hmm. it's not an entitlement. So don't expect respect because you've got the stripes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important, and being humble.
I have a good friend, and she wrote a book. It's entitled Influence Without Authority.
Mm.
And it's so, like, when she talks and she speaks, I'm like, it's so good, because the past, you know, we see leaders as it's the person in front of the line. It's the person at the head of the organization. It's the person that has the title. But no, like, leadership, everyone needs to be a leader. Everyone does.
Yes.
You need to be influencing each other in positive ways. I think of it like, you know, cells in a body. You know, we have all the positive cells, or the white blood cells attacking, like, you know, the bacteria or the viruses. Like, there is so much power when everyone makes a decision to be better. And that is self-leadership. And from there, you get bigger leadership. But this world that we're moving into, it's the structure of society is completely, you know, shifting and changing, and we all have to figure out and understand and lead ourselves, because there is no this is the path anymore. You got to forge the path.
Mm.
And you got to have these types of conversations, the difficult conversations, like, well, what did you do? How did you do it? You know, and how can I live my life differently, or how can I be a better leader? There's so many. Yeah, it's ripe for innovation. Leadership is ripe for innovation.
Yes. And I think it's also to do with leading with kindness. I think that's so important. And it's how am I showing up? Am I showing up to serve myself or to serve others? And it's small actions that you really need to pay attention to, because people are noticing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even something as little as responding to an email.
Mm.
Like, I've sent emails out and then for a specific purpose, and you've been in touch with the person, and then it's not reciprocated. Or, for example, being in magazines and they're like, I want the article now, can you do it now? And then you go out of your way, and then you don't hear about, oh, I've released the article, here's the link. I mean, a silly example, but it means a lot when you go over and beyond for someone, and then you feel kind of used in a way when it's not reciprocated. And I think it's so important to be mindful of those small actions.
Oh no, absolutely. I think kindness goes a really long way, especially in emails. Like any folks that I've just had this practice from day one out of UCLA, out of grad school. It's like, be respectful of people's time and treat folks with the utmost respect, regardless of where they are in the hierarchy of an organization.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves respect. You're not more important than the person next to you, because we're all just in these human bodies, and maybe some of us speak in front of large crowds and others don't, but it doesn't, that idea of self-importance when you're being a leader, you know, be kind, be gracious and generous.
Absolutely. Dom, it's so lovely to chat to you. I know I could go on forever and ever. But for our listeners, I know that you've got a wonderful podcast. I've already gone through a number of them. And I love how they are like bite-sized chunks of information there. So it's easy to consume, which with my lifestyle fits in so perfectly. So where do we find you on your podcast? Are you on social media? Yeah, how do we get in touch?
Yeah, great. So you can find me on the Positive Success Show on Apple iTunes or Spotify, just type that in. And then on social media, I'm on Instagram at Dom Narciso or Facebook at the Dom Narciso. Yeah. So anyone just connect with me, let me know what you learned from this episode. I would love to hear from the audience, from the listeners. I always that's the super fulfillment for me is knowing that someone listened and that maybe they learned something because that helps me grow. So
Yes.
you growing out there helps me grow.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's those little aha moments. It gives insight, to so many other people who can relate to what you're saying or take something out of that. And I agree with you. For myself, listening to other people's perspectives is so important to me to help me become a better person.